Well, we have begun. Though officially we started on Ash Wednesday, nevertheless, Sunday, this Sunday, the first Sunday in Lent, is sort of the real opening of Lent, the real beginning of Lent. And of course, as I mentioned last week, you know, Quinquagesima Sunday, we have seen this more and more since Septuagesima, 3 weeks ago, the Church gives us much amplitude for penance. And in this case, today, not only me, but the Schola, who did a wonderful job with the longest gradual and tract in the whole year. Magnificent. And it is most of Psalm 90, which is a very long psalm. A psalm which the devil quotes to Jesus, you know, because the devil, you know, remember this, the devil can quote scripture better than any theologian can, better than any pope. And the way things are nowadays, I definitely would say that for sure. But in the first reading, we have the usual, typical St. Paul. And of course, if you want to complain about anything, read this epistle and see what poor St. Paul had to endure. He's one thing after the other, after the other, after the other. I'm not going to mention them all again. You read it for yourselves, and you can read it again for yourselves. All the suffering that he had to endure in order to follow Christ. And, of course, we are no different. We too must suffer in order to follow Christ. We too must follow him. And it means that we must carry the cross. And that's what Lent is all about. The whole year, to a certain degree, but Lent. And then in the Gospel, it's one of my favorite Gospels. And of course, if you were here Friday night, and a lot of you were not, and I need to remind you that this is Lent, you need to come to the Holy Hour on Thursday night, and you need to come to the stations on Friday night and benediction. You're denying yourself graces, which you need. And I repeat that, you need them desperately. As we say, we pray every single Mass here for those who are rushing to hell. Well, there are many people here who are rushing to hell. And you make all kinds of excuses. If anybody has an excuse, I do. So you need to make a sacrifice. That's what Lent is about. Sacrifice. So St. Paul tells us about all his sacrifices. But if you have been here Friday, and this Friday we use my Stations of the Cross, my meditations, which took a long time to write and included a great deal of suffering. And of course, as I celebrated it, the stations, the solemn stations, which we have every Friday of Lent, it was indeed a great deal of suffering, which made me sick for the whole night long. Because if one is united to Christ, one cannot meditate on the Passion without suffering with Christ, just as St. Paul does here. But here we have one of the two times, as I mentioned in my book, one of the two times that the devil, the former Lucifer, Jesus is the new Lucifer, as we see every Easter vigil in the Exultet, the light carrier that never goes black, never goes dim. Jesus is the real Lucifer. Satan has had his turn and he blew it. Are you going to blow it too? You're having your turn right now till you die. And then what will you get? But two times Jesus allowed this evil, formerly magnificent creature, and the more beautiful a creature is, when they fall, the more horrible it is. St. Thomas says, the most beautiful flowers, the most beautiful fruits, when they go bad, they stink the most. That's in St. Thomas. Don't stink, please. But here we have the former Lucifer, who has become this grotesque, evil creature, who has the audacity and his super pride to come and tempt Jesus. And there were two times. This is one of them. And the other, as we prayed Friday, is during the Passion. You may not see them, but during the Passion, the devil and many of his minions come and surround Jesus and taunt him and throw into his face, "Aren't you supposed to be the Son of God? What are they doing to you? Why are you suffering this? You're no Son of God. Prove it to us." And of course, here he tries to do that. Because, you know, it was not revealed to the devil and his minions that Jesus was God. Not until now. They tried to find out. They suspected that there was something wrong with that family that was so holy and so pure and so peaceful. There must be something wrong with them that they don't fight like most people fight, like most couples fight. They knew there was something wrong there. Of course, to them, goodness was wrong. But it was not revealed. It was not revealed to them. So he's not totally sure. And so here he is given another chance. And his first chance to actually tempt Jesus. And so, of course, Jesus, his true God and true man, his body is really a human body without sin. But it can get tired and it can get hungry, just like you and I can. And so 40 days, which gives us, of course, the wonderful liturgical season of Lent. 40 days and 40 nights. And so Satan tempts him because he knew he was hungry. He could probably hear Jesus' stomach grumbling. And he says, "If you are really the Son of God, then why don't you not turn every stone here in the desert?" And the Palestinian desert is not like the Sahara or one of the southeast, southwestern deserts, just sand. It was mostly dried up stones with very few or no vegetation. So there were stones, millions of them. So if you are really God, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Of course, bread in those days, not today, we have so many things today, we are so spoiled. Bread was a staple of a diet. And so he says, turn it into bread, turn them into bread. And of course, our Lord says that which we must remember. Man does not live on bread alone, on physical food, on caviar and salmon and shrimp. Man lives on the Word of God. Do you? And then he took him up to the parapet of the temple, the highest peak of the temple. And he said to him, "Well, you know, it is written," of course, Psalm 90, which we have just heard from the Schola. It says that God will not allow you to even so much as stumble your toe against a stone. So, let's see if you really are God. Throw yourself off the parapet and let's find out if the angels come to pick you up. And of course, the Lord replies to him, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And oftentimes, in our pride, because, you know, God forbid that we should admit it, that we have pride, but all of us have pride. That is the original sin, and that is that which creeps up even after baptism. It is a fomes peccati, that which remains after the sin is erased by baptism, along with all the physical maladies, which are too many to count. And so, he says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And we do that. We say, well, I'm going to cross the street even if it's dangerous, and nobody's going to run over me. Well, then all of a sudden, a Mack truck runs a stop sign, and flat, you're a pancake, and you're probably in hell. Do not tempt the Lord your God. He gave you a brain and a heart. Use them. Use them, lest you be destroyed. And then finally, he takes him on a very high mountain. I mean, the audacity of this evil, disgusting, scurrilous creature. He says, all these kingdoms that you see belong to me. If you worship me, I will give them to you. And of course, who created them? Who created all these kingdoms? This beautiful, beautiful earth, this beautiful universe that he is flippantly throwing in the face of Christ. God did. And Jesus is God, the second person of the Trinity. And so, then, Jesus says to him, begone, Satan! Begone! That's enough from you, you porcupine. You pig. Of course, you know how the Jews felt about pigs. Begone. For it is written, the Lord thy God shalt thou adore, that which Lucifer refused to do in heaven. He had it all, and he refused to adore God in heaven because he thought he was more beautiful and more perfect than God. He was God. And so many people think they are God. And the Lord says, only God shall you adore. And that shut him down, and he left. He didn't find out exactly if he was God. Maybe to him he was just another prophet. He didn't say anything here that would prove him to be God. He wanted to find out. And oftentimes, we have doubts about the faith, about our wonderful, holy Catholic faith. We are playing Satan. How can we doubt him who has created us? How can we doubt him who has saved us, who has become one of us? First of all, a little baby in the manger in Bethlehem, and now as we see in our magnificent cross, which comes from Spain. Jesus is alive there. He is suffering right now for us to show us how much he loves us. And so, we need to remember these things. Him alone can we adore, with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Do not lose the wonderful inheritance which Jesus has won back from you, that Adam and Eve lost. Now they regained it. They are Saint Adam and Saint Eve. And their feast is December 24th, if you remember. But he has suffered for us, for you and me. How can you renege him, this wonderful gift that he has given to us? In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.